going?
Yep.
We're going to go ahead and start, since for whoever's here anyway. Joyce, would you like to offer a prayer to start, please? Or not Linda? Linda. You. Either one of you could use. I did. We're going to have a prayer now, please. Jim. Thank you. Okay, what did we learn yesterday? Okay. Hopefully we picked up some things about what it is to be in a kingdom, what God's kingdom is like to some degree, talking about comparing it to an earthly kingdom. We're going to carry that a little farther today. We're going to look a little more closely at what God's kingdom is like. Okay? We're going to take a little bit different approach, maybe. But let's look first at how does a king rule? What is in order to rule a kingdom, what is needed? I think your people are all too far away. Oh, come on, don't be boring. Okay, but what does he rule with? How does he carry out anything? How does he do anything in his kingdom?
He has underlings.
Okay, but what does he do with the underlings?
He gives them more responsibilities.
Okay, but how does he do that? With what?
Well, he just confers authority on them to act in his behalf.
Are they going to know what to do? What does he have to use in order to let them know what to do?
You gotta teach him, I guess.
Talk to them. Okay, we're getting somewhere. But what does he tell them? What does a king do that governs the whole kingdom? He issues what?
Decrees.
Commandments and decrees. Okay. Can he? Without that, the subjects don't know what to do, right? Really? I mean,
And usually he spend part of the day as people bring problems to him, listening and...
If he's a good king, he's going to spend some time being a judge, probably, and settling issues. But even then, he's going to make decrees, right? And give directions on what they should do. So if he just wrote them all down and put them in a book, would that help the subjects of the kingdom know how to be ruled?
Only if they know how to read.
Or if he makes the book available, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, with God, did he think that was important? Okay. Let's verify that a little bit. Let's go to Alma 9, 47-50. We're only going to read a small part of this, but... What's happening here is that he's gone through and explained a great deal of the situation with the fall and how man was reclaimed. How man was reclaimed from the fall.
Starting with 47, you said?
Yes, starting with 47. I'm going to read that, Sandy.
And after God had appointed that these things should come unto man, behold, then he saw that it was expedient that man should know concerning the things whereof he had appointed unto them. Therefore he sent angels to converse with them, which caused men to behold his glory. And they began from that time forth to call on his name. Therefore God conversed with men and made known unto them the plan of redemption, which had been prepared from the foundation of the world. And this he made known unto them according to their faith and repentance and their holy works. Wherefore he gave commandments unto men, they having first transgressed the first commandments as to things which were temporal, and becoming as gods, knowing good from evil, placing themselves in a state to act, are being placed in a state to act according to their wills and pleasures, whether to do evil or to do good. Therefore God gave unto them commandments after having made known unto them the plan of redemption, that they should not do evil, the penalty thereof being a second death, which was an everlasting death, as to things pertaining unto righteousness.
Okay, so what was it that was essential for us to know? He said it was expedient that man know about the things that he had decreed, which is talking about the plan of redemption here, about being saved from sin. So he calls on men through angels, and he gives them what?
Commandments.
Commandments, so that they know what?
They know not to do evil.
How to conduct themselves, right? Okay, let's go to section 81. Verse 3. The thing that he found it essential to give them, though, was the knowledge of the plan of redemption. What's another name for the plan of redemption in terms of the bigger picture?
Salvation.
Okay, who redeemed us?
Christ.
So it's the knowledge of Christ, right? And what Christ has done for us, which would be part of the gospel, right? Okay, look at section 81, 3, A and B. Well, let's just do 3A for the moment. Yeah, we'll do it all. Okay. You have that? Okay.
And again, I say unto you, I give unto you a new commandment, that you may understand my will concerning you, or in other words, I give unto you directions, how you may act before me, that it may turn to you for your salvation. I, the Lord, am bound when ye do what I say. But when ye do not what I say, ye have no promise.
Okay, does that sound like what we just read in Alma there?
Close.
It's pretty close, isn't it? It's the same pattern. What is a commandment? What does this say a commandment is, very specifically? What does it say there? Look at what it says.
That you may understand my will.
Okay, it's a revelation of his will.
Direction.
And directions for what?
How we should act, how we conduct ourselves.
For what?
That we might be saved.
All right. So a commandment is a direction on how to act to be saved. What do you do to be saved? Right? So that's very clear what the Lord's commandments are. Now let's look at verse B. It says, I, the Lord, am bound when you do what I say, but when you do not what I say, you have no promise. Does that sound like a good king?
Absolutely.
Yes. Very fair.
What kind of a kingdom would it be if the king issued a decree and nobody did anything? But they expected him to come through with whatever he said would happen if they kept the law. Say, if you keep the law, I will not send my army in on top of you. They don't keep the law, but they expect to be protected from his army. Is that going to happen? It would be chaos, wouldn't it? Nothing would fit, nothing would work. He couldn't expect the subjects to do anything. The subjects couldn't expect anything from the king. It wouldn't work.